This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Horror Bites on Safe Room, the show where we highlight short indie horror games and the people who make them. I'm stuck in a train toilet and he's trying to pass his exams. I'm Neil Bolt and he is Jay Krieger. How goes it, Jay?
I'm doing well, man. And if today goes anything like my many years of schooling, I will probably be retaking this exam, but that remains to be seen.
So yes, this week more micro-horror from the lands of Itch as we see if we can pick an entity out of a crowd and gain further proof why trains are the worst form of travel. These games can be found on Itch.io, and if you play them and enjoy them, please help the developers out by supporting their present and future works in any way you can. As ever, links for both games will be included in the show notes. So first this week, Jay, we are returning to a short horror series we have covered twice before. So tell us about the third entry in the Lancaster Leak series.
Yeah, the latest entry from developer Jeremy Fisher is entitled Entity Exam, in which the player assumes the role of an ERD, an Entity Research Department agent, completing several training modules, informing them about both the policies of the department, as well as how to spot all manner of spooky entities. So this series continues to be, I think, a standout from so many of the horror bites that we've covered, just for the fact that, we keep returning to this connected universe between each of the episodes, but it's an anthology style and it's the world itself that acts as sort of like the hub. But every single time we have seen a different format for these experiences in these different chapters, which has been really interesting to see. I don't think we've, quite frankly, seen anything like that outside of horror bites or even in it, where you just have somebody returning to this universe, but they handle it in the same way that they did with the sort of early, I'll say like the early episodes or seasons of the X-Files, where you have this universe, but you can kind of just tune in at your leisure. So it's the thing with Lancaster Leak, where if you dove in to this entry and this was your first sort of taste of what the Lancaster Leak series has entailed for them, then, all of a sudden you get a flavor of that world and then you can go back and you can see it from another perspective or another form of interactivity. And this one, while it does present itself with a format that we've seen before, which is, you're being sat in front of a computer monitor and you have to click through these increasingly creepy images and picking different things out that seem out of place. I think the shared universe of the Lancaster Leak, and then also just the variety of sort of tasks and modules that you have to complete, goes a step further. Even if it might feel familiar, it's not just picking out those images, right? So that is one of the first ones, is that it says, okay, here are some things that you need to look out for in terms of like an entity that would, try to blend in with the general populace. So you have to pick out these little oddities in somebody's facial features. Sometimes it might be like droopy skin. It might be an eye that hasn't formed correctly or no, pupils at all. Those types of things that are very simplistic, a little bit run of the mill. But then they take it a step further and they present you with more, lore about this world, more about the agency. You go through this training procedure about like what you do when you're faced with an entity. What is the priority? And I think that this is where this entry in the series does a really good job of kind of reinforcing what makes the Lancaster Leak's world a little bit outside of what we're used to with, some of these horror bites, in that, it has a great sense of dark humor, which is, of course, really important. Like, there's a whole training module that talks about the fact that, some of these entities you can't kill with traditional firearms. Some of them you can, but you should make sure you always have one extra bullet in the mag in case you need to take yourself out. otherwise you're going to get ripped to shreds. Like little things like that, that kind of reinforce the sort of harsh realities of getting into this world of entities and all of these things. But at the same time, there's like a little darkly comedic tone to everything. So yeah, you know, the various types of interactivity I liked as well from like a multimedia standpoint. Some of them, as I mentioned already, you click the right image or you select multiple choice answers. But then there's also a section where it's like audio transcription, where you listen to these sort of like gurgled or distorted messages from people that were coming into contact with entities. And you have to try to, you know, transcribe them, and they become increasingly distorted, but also increasingly creepy and uncomfortable, given obviously the fate that most people end up with after running into one of these entities. And then also, you know, I liked how they furthermore fleshed out the different types of entities. So there's one section where they kind of start listing through them. They break them down with a profile, you know, the threat assessment. But then another element that I think makes the Lancaster League universe so interesting is the fact that it's like, yeah, this agency is not just here to protect people. They want to actually manipulate these entities and see the likelihood of them being able to use them against other people. So like one of the monsters you learn about, which is essentially like a night terror demon, they say like, oh, like this is really dangerous, but at the same time, we want to emphasize researching it so we can utilize that against our enemies and things like that. And like, again, crafting a bigger world outside of the computer monitor that is basically the experience of the entity exam, I think does a great job in building up on the lore of this world. And I think that it's smart because, you know, you're only going to have so many different types of gameplay experiences within this universe. So like doing a good job of fleshing out the expanded connectivity between everything, I think it gives this game a little bit of wiggle room in terms of like, I'm not going to be down on it for presenting something that's familiar because it's reinforcing elements that were already there in the first episode that were so strong, and it's kind of running with that. I have more to say about it, but I'm curious for you, like, did you feel similarly with this, that, you know, it might've been a little familiar, but they do a good job at sort of exemplifying what was so unique in the first episode, first two episodes?
Well, I think it comes down to how I sort of felt that jump from the first to the second, not knowing, you know, when someone says anthology, you don't know how loose that's going to be, you know, and it was clear with the second episode that it was going to be quite distinct each time. And, you know, I'm not going to say I wasn't slightly disappointed we didn't return back to the kind of stuff we had in that first one, but I like that there's a consistency we were worried about that is showing in terms of, like, taking this anthology format and really going to a different place with each one whilst having the connective tissue where it matters. I think having it from different perspectives effectively of, like, you know, a victim or a situation, and here, you know, like from within the company and just looking at how they train for these things, you know, that's nice in terms of sort of building up this world and making you more aware of what it's all about. And yeah, again, familiar bits and bobs, but I think approaching it in a way that feels fresh because it's you have this foreknowledge if you have played those other games, where you do end up thinking, okay, yeah, now I know I can connect that a bit with that, and building stuff up that makes a consistent, coherent world, which, you know, I think some stuff may unravel, you know, as we go in, but it just it's hard to know how much for this was all planned as a structured set to begin with, in terms of what kind of game, where you're going to go, the story next. Anything that sort of bugged me really was that I think it was just felt a little sloppier in terms of like the text this time. You know, I think there was a bit of that in the last one, which kind of alarmed me more after the first one was fairly strong. And here, especially early on, there's a lot of really poor spelling, you know, which, you know, could come down to translation issues, whatever. I think that's noted on the page, but I don't know the guy's original language with this. So, but it's something that kind of stands out, unfortunately, when you're in any job where you are looking at words all the time, every day, it does kind of stand out to you when you, even in your own mistakes. But yeah, so that was a slightly, not worrying thing, just a small problem I had with it, I suppose. It took me out of it a little from what I was doing. But yeah, I think overall it's a strong return after the last one was a bit underwhelming, I think. But this one definitely brought it round in a way I didn't expect, rather than just sort of reverting to type, which would have been a safe option, absolutely, in terms of like getting it back on track. But I think this is actually quite a bold move in terms of pushing it on, keeping you on the hook with the same kind of ideas, but doing it in a very different way.
Yeah, and the fact that this is able to elicit some genuine tension for something that is mostly text and picture based by having, you know, something as simple as a timer for answering certain questions, and then you get all the way to the end and you have that final exam, which is really this great mixture of everything that you've learned so far, but also again applying a time frame to answer every single question. You know, I think that that was more effective in being unsettling than maybe some of the jump scares that are featured in these. Not that they're, you know, plentiful, but they are kind of just exactly what you would expect. At the same time, I was impressed with, there's one sequence in particular where it snaps from the computer monitor to then like a home video capturing an entity. And I wish there was a little bit more of that, because that was something that was cool. Again, this blending of different forms of multimedia and then adding player agency to that, I thought was like a nice sort of twist. I don't even know if it's a twist, but it's just a nice way to present this that makes it a little bit more of a standout than some of these other, you know, horror-centric test games where it's like, oh, pick out the anomaly. And this just has, I think, a little bit more variety to it, which I was really appreciative of. If it was just something where it was the basic pick the skinwalker out of these four mugshots, I would not have been as positive on this entry. But again, fleshing out this universe more in a multitude of ways was exactly what something like this needed, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be boarding an express train to hell after a quick break. We will be boarding an express train to hell after a quick break. Welcome back to Horror Bites. This week, I am bringing the first in what could be a new indie horror anthology series in the same vein as The Lancaster League and things like Fears to Fathom. Creepy Waves FM is the series name. And its first entry is Trained Apart by Ship's Captain, making their debut game. It's a first-person story about a young man travelling on a train alone. He's excited about the adventure of travelling without his parents, but things take a bad turn and he's soon caught up in a terrible situation on the train. When I was looking at the game, and as you always do with these things, I think, I have an idea of what this might be like, so I'll give it a go, check it out what it does. Didn't expect it to be a bit more grounded in terms of what it was, you know? Like, I was expecting something a bit more supernatural. Maybe that's just the way it ends up being with the things we cover on here. But, yeah, the nature of the way this game looks in terms of, like, you are just going up and down a train carriage, doing very menial things like that. It's, like, extrapolating the idea that we've seen in many of those menial job-style horror games where you do a few basic things and voila. Fears to Fathom is a good sort of note to go on here, because I think it takes a lot of those elements that worked in that, like the phone and the picking up the phone back and forth and doing little things in between to progress the story. And that first story, especially in that series, was very grounded in what it did. So it was a great reminder. Quite a lot of detail as well for this little section that it gives you. You know, you can talk to the passengers on the train and sort of go about your business, muck around on your laptop, and just the unsettling stuff is very vague, you know, for a while. You know, it's like something starts to happen creepy-ish, and it devolves into this situation where you awaken to find out something's happened, but you're not quite sure what, and then kind of start to recall what might could have been happening, and you can't give any more away than that, because that would be spoiling the surprise, and it's only like 15-20 minutes, so depending on how much you want to sort of immerse yourself in it, which I wanted to really sort of get about this. A lot of great atmospheres made in this small area and really sort of breathing some life into this small story. It has a bit of intensity towards the end as well, given you are playing a young person as well. all alone on this train, you know, against this threat. And yeah, it was good up to that point. I just think the ending was a bit, you know, again, common problem we see. It was very, that's what Saturn wouldn't be right, but, you know, it felt a bit too easily tucked away. You know, and I didn't, without really giving you anything proper. But then maybe that's because maybe this anthology thing is going to involve the same people, the same person throughout with different kind of stories. We don't know. But so that could change how I feel about the ending, you know, at that point. But yeah, I think in terms of like setting a horror game on a train like that, yeah, I liked it. It's yeah, definitely the sort of thing that makes you worry about people on trains. Sure. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised, but I was also a fan of the fact that this was as grounded as it was. You know, we play a lot of games that are similar to this in that, you know, okay, there's the creepy monster that runs right at you or something along those lines, or you have to avoid it. And in this, to have a grounded situation and scenario that is, you know, actually plausible was surprising, but it was a nice spin on what we're used to. And you know, there's something to be said about being able to craft tension in a game when you're surrounded by other characters in a well-lit environment, you know, and while we would classify this as a more psychological horror or something along those lines, or maybe just, you know, environmental horror, but not in the traditional sense, you know, there's something to be said for being able to capture that feeling of, you know, being a young person that's traveling on their own for like the first time, you know, as somebody that's done that a lot, like this game does a good job, and it's mostly through those text conversations, which again is a great feature in getting to explore the larger parameters of this character's life without the sort of traditional cutscenes or something along those lines.
Yeah, and it makes sense as a protagonist in a modern setting as well, at that age. Yep. Of course, they'd have their phone looking constantly and doing other stuff on their laptop. It's more plausible, I think. It's we see it used in games, obviously, to that effect, but. It's the first time that made me really think about it like that and go, yeah, no, it makes sense. You know, I mean, I'm not young, but you know, I spend most of my day on my phone one way or the other. And so it makes sense that it does play a part like that.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that, you know, you're given these tools that often like characters in a horror game or horror movie don't have, that they would need to survive, and you have it, but they're not really there for your survival because you're just as helpless with them or without them. And yeah, like you said, there's a good deal of interactivity in this that, you know, goes beyond what you might expect. You can chat up various people that are riding the train. And during the course of this game, when, you know, the setting changes slightly, you can go back and re-interact with some of those people. They have new dialogue and whatnot. And it runs the full gamut of, you know, people that you run into on public transportation. Half of them are going about their day. Half of them are happy to have somebody to talk to, and half of them are like, why the hell are you touching me and why are you talking to me type of thing, which again, does a great job of sort of impressing upon the player that this is a story being told from someone that's drawing real world experiences into it. Cause it seems to be indicative of that, even if, you know, the ending is hopefully something that they themselves didn't experience, but the grounded nature of it is something that I was again, shocked by, but I thought that the handling of it, especially, you know, the interactivity with your own bag and those things and how that plays a role in it, was just nice to see. And it was surprising in a way that was unexpected. And I think when you have experiences such as this, that's all you can really ask for. I think, yeah, the ending itself, we don't know the plan for this series moving forwards and whatnot. If they're going to continue it, cool. But if not, it was a little underwhelming. But I think that when a majority of the experience delivers on that premise in a good, in an enjoyable way. You know, endings are hard. Beginning and ending are probably the two most difficult things you can do in any medium, whether it's writing or whether it's, you know, a game or a movie or something. And so I think that to be able to walk away from that and the ending not spoiling the entirety of the experience speaks to the quality of it prior to its ending.
Yeah, I think considering the limitations it was made in terms of game jam stuff and prototyping, I can understand why, you know, that wasn't like the focus, and you know, the focus was more on what actually happens during the moment and the time, which is, you know, the effective part. That's the part that matters. So the ending, I suppose you can just look at it and take it aside and just take it off the end there and say, yeah, It's fine. We'll go with that and see how it goes and see whether it takes us in the future, which hopefully leads to more games like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. We are wrapping things up now. And as ever, if you are a developer of an indie horror game demo, concept, or game jam entry, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a DM at SaferingPod on Twitter or saferingpod@gmail.com for email if you'd like to be highlighted or interviewed on the show. Jay, it has been as good as ever. We will see you next week. And in the meantime, we will keep searching for more Horror Bites.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.